وعليكم ورحمة الله.
الله أكبر. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم انصر المجاهدين في سبيلك في كل مكان. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما هذه الأضاحي يا رسول الله؟ فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: سنة أبيكم إبراهيم، إلى آخر الحديث. On occasion, Sahaba رضي الله عنهم أجمعين inquired from رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم that what is the reality of these قرباني animals that we slaughter, the background to it. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم says this is a sunnah, a reenactment of the action of your forefather Sayyidina Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام. Sahaba رضي الله عنهم أجمعين inquired that what is there for us in doing so. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave such a great glad tiding that for every hair, strand of hair on the back of the animal that you will be slaughtering, for every one of those there will be a good deed. Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu inquired, and what if it is an animal that has wool, for a sheep for example? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that for every strand of fiber of wool there will be a separate reward written into your account. So immense rewards in carrying out the amal, the action of qurbani. Inshallah, more about this, the history, the background, the injunctions, the many, many virtues of qurbani, and the other significant days. The program will take place after the remaining salah, inshallah. The program will be plus minus half an hour, inshallah.
Thank you.
Let's come closer, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa qala inni dhahibun ila rabbi sayahdin. Rabbi habli minas salihin. Fabashsharnahu bighulamin halim. فلما بلغ معه السعي قال يا بني إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين وبعد الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله on the precious gift of Iman, the perfect and pure teachings of the deen of Islam, that Allah has made us in the best of nations, the Ummah of our beloved Habib Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The days and nights that we are presently experiencing, extremely auspicious, and showing honor and respect to it is from piety of the heart. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whomsoever gives honor, respect and veneration to those things that are essentially the signs of the deen of Allah Ta'ala, whomsoever accords respect and honor to it, that emanates from a pious heart, it shows piety of the heart. The more the honor and respect shown, the greater the piety of the heart is shown out. And qurbani, the qurbani animals, the days and nights that we are experiencing are definitely of those very, very special moments. Many, many virtues of these days and nights. Number one, it falls within Ashhurul Hurum, the 4 months of sanctity. This is one of those months, of the 4 months of sanctity, that the Arabs used to give sanctity to. They used to cease fighting and wars. This continued within Islam as well. So good deeds done in these months are more sanctified. Sins committed in these 4 months are more abhorred by Allah Ta'ala. These 4 months are Dhul Qadha, Dhul Hijjah, and Muharram. So these three come consecutively. And the fourth is the month of Rajab that is separated from these three. So one is it falls within the Ashhurul Hurum. And then these days and nights that we are experiencing, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, these are so significant that Allah Ta'ala, according to many commentators, takes a qasam on it, walayalin ashr, on the qasam of the 10 nights. And many commentators opine that it either refers to these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah or the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So the fact that Allah Himself takes a qasam shows its great importance. And then, leading up to Qurbani, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, whomsoever stays awake for ibadah on 5 nights of the year, Jannah is guaranteed for such a person. The night preceding the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, known as Laylatul Tarwiyah, the night before the 9th, known as the night of Arafat, and the night preceding Eid, Eidul Adha, so 3 nights consecutively, the 8th, 9th, and 10th nights, together with the night of Eidul Fitr, which is at the end of Ramadan, and the 15th night of Sha'ban. So whomsoever stays up for ibadah on these nights, Jannah is guaranteed for such a person. Furthermore, it is also in these days, from the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Arafat, from the Fajr of the 9th, we recite the Takbirat al-Tashriq after every salah necessary to recite it. Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. So commencing on the 9th, in our case this year, Sunday morning Fajr, so Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, as well as Wednesday, and going on to Thursday Asr, so 23 salahs in total, wherein the Takbirat of Tashriq are recited. Now, these days collectively have various names. 9th, known as the day of Arafat. The 10th, which is Monday, the day of Eid, Yawmun Nahar, the day of sacrifice and slaughter. And then you have another terminology called Ayyamut Tashriq. So Ayyamut Tashriq is the 11th, 12th, and 13th. In this year's case, Tuesday, Wednesday, as well as Thursday. Reason for this Tashriq means putting something out to dry in the sun. And it was the habit of the Arabs, when they used to go for Hajj and slaughter, then to preserve the meat, they would dry it in the sun, almost similar to biltong, so that they could be preserved and that they would take it back to their homes, far off distant places, the meat would be preserved after having been hung in the sun, Ayyamut Tashriq. And then you get the days of slaughter, the days of slaughtering of Qurbani, Ayyamun Nahar, which is the 10th, 11th, and 12th. In this year's case, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So 9th, the day of Arafat, 10th, that is Monday, Yawmun Nahar, the day of slaughter, Ayyamun Nahar, the days of slaughter, because Qurbani is permissible on the 10th, 11th, and 12th. So Monday, Tuesday, as well as Wednesday, up till before Maghrib, it is permissible to do the Qurbani. And then Ayyamut Tashriq, which is the 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th, which in this year's case will go from right up to Thursday of Asr, where the Takbirat of Tashriq are recited. Now these 10 days and nights on which Allah Ta'ala has taken a qasam are extremely valuable, very, very precious. We have been hearing about its virtue. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there are no days in which good deeds are more beloved to Allah Ta'ala than during these 10 days and nights. Now the hadith says, أَعْظَمُ أَجْرًا. There are no days in which good deeds bring a greater and a more magnificent reward than good deeds done in these days and nights. Afdal, one hadith says, there are no days in which good deeds are more virtuous than those done in these 10 days and nights. We learn further, مَا مِنْ عَمَلٍ أَزْكَى. There are no days and nights in which a'mal and good actions are more pure, most readily accepted and multiplied manifold by Allah Ta'ala than those which are done in these days and nights. Therefore, we exert ourselves, try and do as much good as possible. Every form of good, whatever it is, dhikr, tilawat, joining family ties, helping and assisting the poor, the unfortunate ones, every and any form of good. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam specifically also said that fasting during these first 9 days, we know the 10th day, which is the day of Eid, it is haram to fast on that day, but fasting during the first 9 days of this month, each day of fasting brings the reward of 1 year's fasting. Can you imagine? We fast 1 day only, A person gets the reward of having fasted 360 days. How generous is Allah Ta'ala? One of Allah Ta'ala's names is Kareem. Making ibadah on these nights is equivalent to the ibadah of Laylatul Qadr, the night of grandeur. And we know Laylatul Qadr, its ibadah is better, not equivalent, better than 1,000 months. How much better Allah Ta'ala alone knows. So can you imagine one night spending time before we sleep, awakening early in ibadah of Allah Ta'ala is better than, it is equivalent to ibadah of Laylatul Qadr. And then the fasting of the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Arafat, in our instance the 9th being Sunday, whomsoever fasts on that day alone, all the sins of the past year and the coming year completely forgiven by Allah Ta'ala. That is why one narration says that each of these first 8 days is equivalent to 1,000 days in goodness, and the 9th itself is equivalent to all of that put together, almost 10,000 days equivalent of goodness. So look how generous Allah Ta'ala is. This is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam refers to when he says that every now and again the breeze of Allah Ta'ala's immense mercy and generosity blows. So avail yourself, put yourselves online to gain from that breeze of the mercies of Allah Ta'ala. And what great opportune moments. Let us also remember that in these days and nights, virtuous days and nights, doing good brings manifold reward. But at the same time, committing a sin, a haram, because of the sanctity of these days and nights, becomes even worse when Allah has taken a qasam on it. Then how can a person embark on blatantly committing the haram? We are insan, we are weak. Immediate tawbah and repentance. Now very quickly, as far as the qurbani is concerned, the slaughtering of the animals, and thereafter we will get to the history, the background, the story behind qurbani inshallah. The virtues of slaughtering the qurbani animal are so many. As mentioned, after the Maghrib Salah, Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in inquired from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that what is the reality of these qurbani animals that we slaughter? What is the background of it? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so beautifully says, Sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. It is the sunnah, the creed, the mannerism, the way of your forefather, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. That in itself is a great honor. And we will look at the story behind it inshallah. Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, and they believe with yaqeen and conviction, their trade and their business was the trade and business of the akhirah, that what is in it for us, O our own Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, for every strand of hair on the animal, you will get a reward. They said, what about if we slaughter sheep that has wool on it? Then for every fiber of strand or every fiber of wool, there will be a separate reward. So imagine how many hundreds of thousands of strands of hair on the back of that animal. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says that when you slaughter that qurbani animal, and many hadith attach to it that you do it wholeheartedly, happily, knowing that this is the command of Allah Ta'ala, then that animal on the day of Qiyamah will be brought in full with its hooves, with its skin, with its horns, with its meat and flesh. It will be put on the scale of good deeds and multiplied 70 times in weight. So those will be very, very heavy on the scales on the day of Qiyamah. One hadith also mentions that the person who slaughters the qurbani animal, and we do it happily knowing that this is the command of Allah Ta'ala, those animals that are slaughtered for qurbani have an honor over all other normal animals. Those animals will be hijabam min an-nar, will be a barrier, a parda, a shield from the fire of Jahannam, will enable a person to cross over the pul sirat very, very speedily. These qurbani animals, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the first drop of blood touches the ground, Allah Ta'ala forgives sins, and equivalent to the drops of blood that falls at the time of slaughtering, so many of your sins are completely forgiven by Allah Azza wa Jal. Some narrations say from the very first drop of blood touching, Allah forgives all your past sins. So look what great benefits, what rewards there are in this amal, in this action. Therefore we do it with ikhlas, sincerity, for Allah's pleasure. Therefore highly desirable that our wajib qurbani, that we do it ourselves, if possible slaughter with our own hands, because it is such a meritorious deed. Yes, other forms of sadaqah, nafal qurbanis, by all means, we send it to different parts where the ummah is in desperate need. Similarly, many, many other rewards have been mentioned, that these animals will weigh heavily on the scale of good deeds. They will be a parda, a barrier from the fire of Jahannam. They will enable a person to cross over the pul sirat with great ease and great speed. So we do so with a happy heart. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the Hajjatul Wada, slaughtered as many as almost 100 camels with his own Mubarak hands. Therefore, if possible, we try and slaughter with our own hands. The etiquettes of qurbani, of slaughtering, we try and lay the animal down in such a way that it lies on its right-hand side with its face towards Qibla, similar to the desired sleeping posture. Few things we keep in mind, the etiquettes of slaughtering. Firstly, ensure that the qurbani animal qualifies to be a qurbani animal. As far as age is concerned, a sheep and goat should be 1 year old. However, in the case of sheep only, not goats, sheep only, if they are 6 months and above and are big in size, that if they are put with 1 year olds, there is not much of a difference, then those sheep, those lambs can also be slaughtered for qurbani. In the case of a cow, it has to be at least 2 years old. In the case of a camel, at least 5 years old. So these are, as far as the ages of the animals are concerned, the qurbani animal should be free of any kind of defect, of any fault. Understand that if an animal has a fault, for example, the animal is blind, it cannot be slaughtered for qurbani, but cut for purposes of halal meat, there is no harm in that whatsoever, just for the sake that the qurbani is a special form of ibadah, so that animal should be free of any kind of defects. Also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages that when you have to slaughter, then do so in a good, in a kind manner. What would that entail? That ensure that the knife is sharpened beforehand. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed a person keeping the animal down with his foot and sharpening the knife over its face, saying, do you wish to kill this thing two deaths? Would you wish to let it die twice out of this fear? So sharpen the knife beforehand so that when you slaughter, it happens quickly and easily. When we are slaughtering the qurbani animals, ensure that it is hidden from other animals, that other animals that are in waiting should not see this happening so as not to further terrify them. To cut the minimum is to cut through, the minimum is at the time of slaughtering to recite, and the slaughtering takes place just below the neck, between the neck and the chest. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar at the minimum. However, there are further du'as that we can learn behind, beforehand, or keep those du'as ready with us. Du'as or words Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had said in his complete and utter dedication to Allah, إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. My living, my dying, my qurbani, my salah, all of that is exclusively only for Allah, who has no partner. Then we read Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and slaughter. Four veins should be cut: the jugular vein that carries the blood, the food pipe, the esophagus, and the two windpipes should be cut. If at least out of these four, three are cut, then to the qurbani technically does get done. So to cause as least taklif and difficulty as possible to do, get through the qurbani as quickly as possible. And then after the qurbani, as Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua with Ismail alayhi salam, when Allah honored them, the reconstruction of the Kaaba Sharif, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. O Allah, accept from us. So the dua after slaughtering, اللَّهُمَّ تَقَبَّلْهُ مِنِّي. O Allah, accept it from me, كَمَا تَقَبَّلْتَ مِنْ حَبِيبِكَ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَخَلِيلِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. As you have accepted from your beloved Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and your bosom friend Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, as you granted them acceptance and qabuliyat, grant it to us as well. The qurbani animal, the flesh, the meat, one can partake of it oneself. Preferable, desirable to split it into three parts. One that one keeps for oneself and immediate dependence. One third to give it to friends and relatives. And one third to be distributed to the poor. As far as the skin of the qurbani animal is concerned, one can use it for one's personal use, to make a musalla, for example, a mat, a water bag out of it. One can give it to another person for personal usage. If it is sold, then that money that comes should be given away as sadaqah. One cannot sell it to make money for oneself. Similarly, the skin of the qurbani animal, and for that matter the meat, cannot be given as remuneration. Maybe someone is helping to skin or to slice, and we say that we will pay you by means of the skin or by means of the flesh. That cannot be done. And we eat of the qurbani meat. In fact, one of the desirable things to do on the day of Eid, Eid al-Adha, preferably to make the first thing that we eat, if it is possible practically, the qurbani is being done early, to eat of that meat. And we eat knowing that this is the hospitality of Allah Ta'ala. Our great pious predecessors, Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakaria Kandalwi, rahimahullah, etc., for 3 days of Eid, the 10th, 11th and 12th, they would only partake of the qurbani meat. It has amazing barakat, amazing nur in it. So to partake, to eat of that qurbani meat, it is a great honor. It is from the signs of the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Going to the history, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it is the sunnah of your forefather, Hazrat Ibrahim Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. The background to it, Sayyidina Ibrahim Alayhi Salam was tested many times and passed each one of these tests with flying colors. One of the supreme tests was to leave behind his wife, second wife, Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha, from whom he had his first son, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam. So can you imagine, he got this child at a belated age. He was in old age already. How beloved this child was, commanded by Allah to leave them behind, Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha and Ismail alayhi salam, in what is today Makkah Mukarrama, at the time, very, very difficult and harsh terrain. No water resources, no animals, no bird life would survive there. And he's commanded to leave them behind with a few dates and a bag of water. And as Ibrahim alayhi salam is leaving, Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha runs behind him saying, "Oh my respected husband, are you leaving us here without any means?" He does not reply. And then she poses a wise question. "Has Allah commanded you to do so?" He replies in the affirmative that yes. She said, "Then Allah will never ever leave us to destruction." We know thereafter, as the mother runs frantically between Safa and Marwa in search of water or any help, Allah Ta'ala causes the well of Zamzam to gush forth, and it flows to this day. That well of Zamzam, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, whatever niyat and dua you drink it with, you will definitely attain that. This child then grows up. Sayyidina Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam's first wife, Hazrat Sarah radiallahu anha, was in the lands of Sham and Palestine, from whom he is blessed his second son, Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam, father of hundreds of Anbiya alayhi salam in his lineage. His son is Yaqub alayhi salam, his son is Yusuf alayhi salam, and the many, many Anbiya alayhi salam from the Bani Israel. From Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam in Makkah Mukarrama, in his direct lineage comes none other than our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam. So this child then grows up to be at the prime age of assistance to his father. When he just gets strong enough to be able to move around, to help his father in his chores, when he is most beloved to his father. The ulama of tafsir mentioned, and this incident is detailed in the Quran Sharif in Surah As-Saffat, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعْهُ السَّعْيَ, when he was of an age that he could go around and be of assistance to his father, the ulama mentioned that his age at the time was 13 years old, not a child and not big enough to be disobedient. At the prime, most beloved age, he is put to this test. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, on the 8th night of Dhul Hijjah, 2 nights before Eid, is commanded in a dream to slaughter this very son, Ismail alayhi salam, so dear and beloved to him. He spends the whole of the next day contemplating, reflecting, that is this the command of Allah Ta'ala? And therefore the 8th is known as Yawmut Tarwiyah, the day of contemplation and reflection. Next night, the night before the 9th, night of Arafat, he sees the same dream again. So the next day he recognizes and knows that this is definitely the command of Allah, and therefore it is called Yawmu Arafah, the day of knowing, the day of recognition. On the 3rd night, the night before the 10th night of Eid, he sees his dream again. And the dreams of Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam are absolute haqq and truth. One means of wahi that comes to the Anbiya alayhi salam is by means of dreams. Their dreams are absolutely truth. It is a form of wahi and revelation. So now he makes a firm intention, resolution to go and slaughter Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam. So father and son, he decides to take him a little out of Makkah Mukarrama so that the mother, Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha, does not feel that pain. When they get to Mina, at where the slaughterhouse is, a famous boulder that is demarcated up to this day in Mina, is where he decides that this is where we're going to enact the command of Allah Ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, before that, and Allah talks about this in the Quran Sharif, takes his son into his confidence and says, "Ya Bunayya, O my beloved son," was extremely beloved to him. This teaches us as parents, when we're doing tarbiyat, the overriding message should be that I love you. "Ya Bunayya, inni ara fil manam." Not just once, I see continuously that I am slaughtering you in a dream. This is the command of Allah Ta'ala. "Fandhur madha tara." So he says to his son, "That tell me, what do you think about this?" Now here Ibrahim alayhi salam did not ask his son's opinion, that if he says yes, we will do it, if he says no, we will not do it. Amazing, the commentators of Quran have gone to great depths. The wisdom behind him asking Ismail alayhi salam, one reason is to teach us the sunnah of mashwara. Important matters, we sit collectively, rise, opinions are given, we read the dua of guidance from Allah Ta'ala, and in mashwara there is always khair and barakah. Number two, that he wished to make the enactment of the command of Allah Ta'ala easier. Instead of taking his son and just putting him down and slaughtering, and not telling him the reason for it, Ismail alayhi salam would not fully understand what is happening. So to prepare him so that he enacts the command of Allah with a full heart, with full readiness. And third, and this is a beautiful reason, one of the great commentators, Allama Alusi, has mentioned that he was desirous that his son should get as much reward as himself for this great submission to Allah Ta'ala. That if Ismail alayhi salam readies himself as he did, then he would get the full reward and the full share of thawab in this great amal. Ismail alayhi salam, what does he respond? And he says, Ya Abati, O my respected father, adab and respect, if'al ma tu'mar, do exactly as you have been commanded. And this command came in the form of a dream. Dreams of Anbiya alayhi salam are truthful. So do exactly as you have been commanded. He knew as the son, my father is a Nabi. When he gets a dream, it is a command of Allah Ta'ala. There was no looking for loopholes. Maybe it means slaughter a sheep on my place. Maybe do something else. Maybe do this or that. And act the command of Allah as it has been given to you. And as far as I am concerned, no worries. Satajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. You will find me, O my respected father, if Allah wills, amongst those who exercise patience. The Quran is amazing. It is beautiful. He did not rely on himself. There was no pride and haughtiness and arrogance that I will stand up. No, he says, it is the will of Allah. If Allah wills, then my intention is there. I am not the only one. There are many, many who exercise patience for Allah's pleasure. You will find me one amongst those. Insha'Allah min as-sabirin. Allah Ta'ala says, and let us try and visualize the moment. Ismail alayhi salam says to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam just before slaughter, that when you put me down for slaughter, then sit at my shoulder blades so that you do not look directly into my eyes and my face. Perchance at that last moment your love for me may deter you from the command of Allah Ta'ala. He put him down on his temples. He says, sharpen the knife beforehand so that it is easy for me to go through this. And he says, try and ensure that the drops of blood fall to the ground, not onto my clothing. And after you have slaughtered me, take my kurta and give it to my mother. Perchance it will give her some kind of consolation when she misses me and thinks about me. En route to enacting this command, Shaitan came on three occasions to try and deter father, son, and to Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha. All of them said, if this is the command of Allah, then nothing can come between us and them. And here, another great amal of Hajj, the pelting of the Jamarat, the pelting of the Shayateen, to remind ourselves that this is the enemy of human beings. Anything that comes between oneself and the order of Allah Ta'ala is an enemy. So he puts him down, reads Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, takes the knife, sharpened, and starts to slaughter Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah Ta'ala puts an invisible barrier. As much as he puts pressure, the knife does not cut. He tries from behind the neck, same effect. And then Jibreel alayhi salam descends with a ram from Jannah. Allah Ta'ala speaks about this moment. Falamma aslama, father and son both submitted in totality. Ibrahim alayhi salam giving over his son, Ismail alayhi salam giving over his life. We then called out, Ya Ibrahim, qad saddaqta ar-ru'ya. O Ibrahim, you have fulfilled the command that you had been given in your dream. The objective was not to slaughter your child, it was to test your resilience in your obedience to Allah Ta'ala. You have passed with flying colors. This was a manifest and a very clear test from Allah Ta'ala. Allah says, وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. In place of his son Ismail alayhi salam, we gave him a huge and a magnificent sacrificial animal. So Jibreel alayhi salam descended with this ram, and many commentators say it is the same one when the two brothers Habil and Qabil had offered sacrifices. It was accepted from Habil. It was lifted up to the heavens, had been grazing in Jannah ever since. It was now brought down, and Ibrahim alayhi salam is commanded to slaughter this. When this moment is witnessed by those around, Jibreel alayhi salam, seeing that the child is spared and this ram is going to be slaughtered, he says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ismail alayhi salam says, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. And Khalilullah Ibrahim alayhi salam says, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. The origins of the takbirat al-tashriq, Allahu Akbar said by Jibreel alayhi salam, La ilaha illallah wa Allahu Akbar, Ismail alayhi salam, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd, Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam then slaughters, and the ram, its horns, had been hung within the Kaaba Sharif for a very, very long time. It was within this ummah when a fire had engulfed the Kaaba Sharif, was it burnt. But very important for us is that when we slaughter the Qurbani animal, that we are putting that knife through the Qurbani animal, remind ourselves of submission, of the Qurbani, the sacrifice, that the supreme and the most important thing is the love and the happiness of Allah Ta'ala, and nothing should come between us and achieving that. Remind ourselves when we are putting the knife through the neck of the Qurbani animal, we are also slaughtering, sacrificing our haram desires, all of those things that comes between us and the command of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla give us tawfiq. We try and read, inshallah, for a few moments, the dhikr that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is encouraged very strongly to recite abundantly in these days and nights, the third kalima. These are the most beloved words to Allah Ta'ala. They are al-baqiyatu salihat, everlasting good deeds. Each of these will weigh very, very heavily in the scale of good deeds. When the person recites these words, they go up immediately and circulate around the arsh of Allah Ta'ala, taking the name of its reciter. What an honor that is. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. استغفر استغفر الله درود شريف اللهم صل ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.